One of the wonderful things about being a diocese is that we're not just congregations by ourselves. We are in relationship. We come to understand that church is more than just the group of people with whom we worship on a Sunday. And one of the ways to represent that and to recognize that is to pay attention to some of the stories from some of our fellow congregations. And I've invited a group of people today from Church of the Servant in Wilmington to come and share a story of an award that they have recently received, not just so we can join our applause to those others that have already offered it, but so we can hear of the work that this group has been doing in Wilmington. And I'm not sure who's coming on behalf of Church of the Servant Wilmington, but y'all come on up. Again, we're a little bit ahead of time, so hopefully your people were able to get here. Good.
Good morning. I'm Jody Greenwood, rector of Church of the Servant, and this is Natasha Clay and Rhonda Thomas. Rhonda's our deacon, and Natasha is now a member of our vestry, but has been part of our worshiping community since the middle of the pandemic, 2020. A few weeks ago, on Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, the new Hanover County NAACP named Church of the Servant the Church of the Year for 2023. Upon sharing this with Bishop Skirving, he invited us, as he said, to share our story, not as an opportunity for patting ourselves on the back. We'll hear on Wednesday in the gospel lesson from Matthew that we aren't expected to do that, and not as a prescriptive of how to do this racial equity work, but I think as an example of what's possible when a few lay people with a passion for something, when they focus their energy, can move things beyond what you could ever imagine. And while COS, Church of the Servant, has always had a desire for racial justice, and many have had a history of marching beside those who have done this work for generations, something shifted in the last few years, and it began organically. There were a few people for whom this work of racial equity and racial justice was in their hearts, and they just started doing things. There was one who just began doing book studies on books that invited us to talk about what it's like to be white and what it's like to understand the world differently, what it is to talk about race and the complexities that that brings. And then in January of 2020, we started our first Sacred Ground group led by Rachel Williamson and Karen Rogowski. And if anybody remembers 2020, embarking on something that was already going to be a long journey, and then it shifted to being a virtual journey, it took a little bit longer than expected. But what I'm so proud of is that they didn't stop doing the work. They met virtually. They didn't let the stumbles and challenges that faced them deter them. And while these showed a new level of energy, an even wider net was cast in early 2021. And it was really driven by something that is routine for all Episcopal churches, and that's to fill out the parochial report. So thank you, Episcopal Church. The vestry was meeting virtually to fill out the parochial report, and if those who are involved in that realized that all of a sudden the report for 2020 had new questions that we had never had before. They had questions about how did you do church during a pandemic? But they also added a new section, a section that was entitled Racial Justice and Reconciliation. And there were four questions that we had to ask, answer. One asked if the church was actively addressing and working toward racial justice and reconciliation. And then three spoke to how large a priority it was for the church and if the vestry and the clergy were committed to this work. And considering these questions thoughtfully and honestly, it prompted our own question of what does it look like to be committed to this work? And that question became a seed for us in the months that followed. And during the next year, we continued this inner work of sacred ground groups and book studies. And then there was another shift during the vestry retreat of 2022. I was there, and I don't know when it happened. I'm going to call it a Holy Spirit thing, and I don't do that lightly. By Sunday, the vestry together were convicted and committed to making the work of racial equity a priority for our church. And they wanted to move from being believers in racial justice to being builders of racial justice. And we didn't know how we were going to get at it, but we knew it was vital. And we started in small ways, adding some additional Levis hymns to our worship on Sundays, changing some of the images that were on our walls to include faces that weren't just white like us or like most of us. And then we got at a more complicated endeavor of creating what was called the Racial Equity Project. And they weren't sure how this was going to get started, but they did it. Three lay leaders, Rachel Williamson, Sean Manning, and Lakeisha Jarrett, took the lead and defined an approach and shared the leadership. I was simply an encourager and a sounding board. I intentionally did not attend the gatherings so that they could do the work. And these leaders were joined by a dozen or so more from our congregation who raised their hand and said they wanted to be part of it. And Racial Equity Project began using the tools the Episcopal Church provided, becoming beloved community. It wasn't quick, but it was steady. And education and re-education for most of us white folk were necessary and essential as a starting point. And I want to invite Natasha, who was part of that work, to share some of that perspective.
Well, when they started to reach out to people in our community, there was an email that went out asking for responses if people were interested in doing this work, if they felt driven to bring it out into more of the parish to invite us to participate more. And I sat there and said, well, gee, I already have a darker complexion, but what the heck, let me go ahead and fill it out and participate. And when we went in for the first meeting, the first gathering, we set our ground rules, and the group itself committed to communicating amongst each other and learning to listen and learning to hear. But one thing that we did notice was the people of color that were in the group, whether they were the leaders or not, they said, we need to back up. We need to step back because y'all need to do the work. We can be here to support, help answer questions, and help you drive the change, but we can't do the work for you. And I think that was a very difficult thing for the group to hear, but they stepped up and they said, yes, we're going to step up to this challenge. And then they began a lot of the work to read more books, to learn more. And I know Rhonda's got a lot of the learning curve that she wants to go ahead and talk about.
When I joined Church of the Servant and was ordained as a deacon, I joined in the middle of the Becoming Beloved community discussion, and then eased in with the rest of the group into the split of the Racial Equity Project. There was a group that did and still does the inner work of the parish. And then there's a group that does, reaches out to the community for the outer work. I was part of the inner work. We're reading a book by Catherine Meeks called The Night is Long, But the Light Comes in the Morning. And it's been very eye-opening and lots of good discussion. There's also been other things we got involved in. But I do want to share one thing and share some examples. The words that we use in these conversations matter. They are important, and it's important for us to stop and think as we share with each other. There was a Sunday school class one morning. We were having a great, open, honest discussion. Someone was sharing something from their past that had white skin and used a word. Didn't think anything about it. And another member of our Sunday school class ran out in tears. And this other person had no idea that what they had said was hurtful and triggering. So we learned from that, because nobody in this class spoke up. We were all just kind of in shock and sat there. So learning from that to kind of point out to each other, hey, think about what you're saying before you say it. I had the opportunity to work with a very active person in our community, Roberta, and get a group called Beyond Walls to come to Church of the Servant. They do 5 films and discussions about the abolition of the prison industrial complex, and talking about how, what that looks like, and how we in our community can help with that, to help navigate that, and to help bring attention to it. And during that discussion, we talked about what the leaflet was going to look like that would go out on the internet and go up in our church. And there was some wording on there that some of us with white skin weren't so sure about. I did not think about the fact of how that was going to feel to those who had put it together and said, hey, let's just do this because we're worried this might scare some folks away. And that led to all sorts of unintended hurt feelings, but I really wanted to walk away at that point. I personally felt awful, but realized that we couldn't give up, that it was not about me. It was about getting this word out and sharing this with the community. So we ended up having a Zoom and taking culpability for the words that were and weren't said and were taken out and put back, and everybody gathered back around, moved on with it, had the meeting and the film showing, and now we are working towards court watching training at our church as the next step to learn about going into sitting in at the courts at the cases and what to listen for. So it's, words really are important. It's important also to listen and ask how we can help instead of going out just full force and doing what we think is right. It's important to build trust and to continue in spite of messing up. That's what I wanted to share.
Thanks, Rhonda. Thank you, Natasha and Rhonda. Yeah, I mean, so part of what we wanted to share is the messiness, right? You know, when have we ever embarked on something that we really want to do, then that it hasn't gotten messy? And we know, we decide how important it is based on how we react to messy. And if we're willing, and this element of trust, right? Trust within our worshiping community, trust beyond our walls. It doesn't just happen. It's not just given to one another. You have to show that you're in it for the long haul. And when the vestry in 2022 said we were going to embark on this, they knew it was going to be a forever journey. This wasn't something that in a couple of years, look, we got this great plaque done, hang it on the wall. You know, no, that isn't how it works. And, you know, when we divided this into two different groups and we've got the community group, we knew that the people in that group needed to have done the inner work and been further down the road. We needed to just simply listen to what was happening in our community and then show up when they asked us to be there. We had some Sunday school classes where we had outside people come in and tell us about the work they were doing. And then a couple of weeks later, the leader of that group texted us and said there was a Black community who had been impacted by contaminated drinking water in their wells that hadn't been included in all of the work that had been done before. And they were presenting their case to the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority. The Rock Hill community has nothing to do with Church of the Servant, but it is a group of people that needed support. And having white people in the room matters. When legislators or leaders are making policy and discussing issues, we didn't have to do anything but show up at 9 o'clock in the morning and sit in a room alongside our Black brothers and sisters who are experiencing this problem, and things moved. We may not like that that's the reality, but it is. And if we're not doing this work, then it's not going to get done. And so being willing to be creative, to pay attention to where the passion is, and then letting the Holy Spirit work through it is vital. And Natasha, having been much closer to it than I am, you know, has some perspective on the challenges of keeping and sustaining momentum. You want to share something?
Part of what we're seeing is that there has to be somebody that's got the drive to lead the group. Without somebody there to support and help continuing moving forward, we would stagnate. What we've also seen is we can be there, we could be the people in the room, but there's still more work to be done. So now that we've taken that step of being the person in the room, now we need to get out in the community and actually interact and work with our brothers and sisters all together to become a stronger church and a stronger unity, a stronger humankind. So those are our next steps moving forward. And I have found, as we've done this work and participating in this, I've also found that I've learned a lot more about my history. Because there's still a group of people that do get overlooked. And that would be people like me who grew up in the white neighborhoods, part of the Black community, and we're in the middle. And a lot of times we have to try and fit in, and that in itself is a struggle. And I know Church of the Servant is working to understand people like me and my perspective. That's a part of moving forward. And that makes it a little bit easier for people like me to interact with both sides to help us grow and help us improve.
So in closing, I just want to share some words that Julie Potter, who is the leader of our parish focus group, shared about the fact that we had received the Church of the Year honor. I think it summarizes what we've talked about. She said, we weren't doers as much as we were listeners. We listened to the voices of Black community members describing the face of injustice. When asked to participate in racial justice events, we were there. We continued showing up, listening, and following their lead. They noticed. We were surprised and honored by the award, but also aware that it was a starting point. a directive. And as we continue this work, we continue to pass the baton between people that are passionate about this work and ready to lead it. This may not be the passion of your parish. You may have some other passion that you want to get at. The laity are the highest order of ministry. God works through you. So find your passion and partner, and then go and get it done. Amen.
Jody and Rhonda and Natasha, thank you for your presentation. And please extend for us to the other members of your congregation our appreciation for the work that you continue to do. I have to say, in the midst of their work, I had a visit with the parish, and it was probably the most interesting adult forum I've ever attended. There were some good questions for me and through me about the life of the diocese that weren't always easy to answer.